So lots of things going on. Sometimes you need that little bit of extra strength. You know, that's what they sell these days. It's not regular. It's the extra strength Tylenol and the extra strength this, the extra strength that, the extra strength detergent that you need. You need more than just the regular. You need the extra strength. And, you know, you ever feel like you need some extra strength? And, you know, maybe it's just strength to get through today. And, you know, you go through and you feel like you're being pushed and pulled in different directions and being suggested or told what's going on and when and where and how to do the things you need to do, and you're pushed towards that you're pulled from, and sometimes seems like life's a little bit out of control. You've lost control. You're just kind of hanging on, and you got Monday meetings, Tuesday tensions, Wednesday worries, and it just goes on and on. And, you know, need some extra strength. Where does that strength come from? Okay. Now you can decide to just hang on for the wild ride of life, or you can choose to grow deeper and have a firm, solid, strong foundation to face it. And with that, we're going to be in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 13 this morning. Colossians 2, 6 through 13. Had noticed I'm kind of continuing on in Colossians, so there's only four chapters in Colossians, but we'll kind of do a little bit here in Colossians. So Colossians 2, 6 through 13 says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through your faith and in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. And He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. To flourish and to grow and to gain that strength that we need, we need to be rooted and built up in Christ. And that's it goes across boundaries, you know, it covers everything in your life, not just certain things. If you're rooted in Christ, it'll flow through all aspects of your life. You know, it's in His indwelling in us that defines us. You know, it's who we are, and it's who we can become in Him, and if we just turn it to Him. And the verse says, again up above, "For in Christ all the fullness of His deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness." Colossians full of the fullness of God. You know, we're to know the fullness of His gain the fullness of wisdom and knowledge of His will. They want us to have the fullness of knowing what He wants for us. And then it's the fullness of Jesus, you know, was the supremacy of Jesus, that we gain the fullness of Him. And now we're, you know, He wants us to have the fullness again because He wants us to grow. He wants us to be deep-rooted. Because when we're full in Christ, that's all we need. That's everything we need. You know, we've got salvation through Him, and we've got righteousness through Him. And nobody or no one can take that away. We have that. We can't add to what's given us by trying to do more things. I think it's part of what He's saying here. You've got the fullness of Christ. You know, He's given that to you already. You've understood who He is. You've accepted that, what He did for you on the cross. You have that. But you know, you're constantly bombarded by people saying there's something else you got to do. And he's saying that's not right. That's not true. He says, I've given you that. You know, you can't run an extra lap at the end of a race you've already run and expect to improve. It's not going to happen. You've already won the race. Running an extra lap's not going to improve your standing. You're already there. You know, you can't put more gas in your tank when it's full. You filled it up. It's full. You're ready to go. You can't put more in it. It's going to run out. You're already full. You can't put any more. You've got what you need. You know, we pray and promise God a lot of times, you know, we're going to do better. You know, I'll do better. You know, I won't do that anymore, or I'll be better at this, or I'll do this more often. And you know, and that's great. We want to do. We have the desire. But even if we do those things in our life, it won't make us more acceptable or more righteous to God. We already have that. You know, should we do those things? Yes. But it won't make us to where we're unaccepted by God. You know, if he gives us salvation, that's a gift. He's not going to take it back. He's given us his righteousness. It's a gift. It's his righteousness. Ours will never match up, but we are in him righteous. So he gave us those things. Those things aren't in question. They shouldn't be, and I hope they're not to you, because those make us full and complete in him. That's what we do with it from there. But those things are ours. We don't earn Christ. We rest on Christ. And Paul's telling him again, you know, watch out for philosophies and doctrines and traditions and man-made principles that require you to perform something in order to achieve your standing in Christ. You know, the Old Testament leaned on circumcision. You know, you got to do that. But you know, Christ just says it's not by human hands that you belong to him, but you do by a circumcision, not by human hands. You know, it's not the procedure that makes you Christ-like, part of Christ. It's Christ that does it. You know, it's not our action that does it. It's but your whole self has been put off and changed by him, not the action. It's Christ that changes you. You know, baptism is kind of the New Testament version of circumcision. You know, in the Old Testament, yeah, you got to be circumcised. You just have to do that, or it, you know, you're not there yet. And a lot of people will do that with baptism because you're just not there yet until you get water baptized. I believe a baptism's necessary, don't get me wrong, but you know, water, you know, Jesus was baptized, so yes, it's obviously a wonderful thing. We should all be baptized. I'm not discouraging it. I want you to be baptized. If you haven't been, you still can. You need to be. But he did it out of obedience to God, and he did it to basically announce his ministry was now beginning in full force. You know, it's my time. I'm supposed to start here. This is the beginning of it. And water baptism for us also announces that basically to people. That's a testimony that, okay, I've got salvation. I've got his righteousness. And now my ministry or my service begins. You know, I'm testifying that I belong to him. And I'm going to start living that life in him. And our service begins. But it's made complete by his baptism of the Holy Spirit on us. It's not the water. It's his baptism. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. It's his work that makes us full. Not ours. It's not a physical experience. It's not just an emotional experience. Although emotions certainly play in it. It's a spiritual experience. If it's not spiritual, then you only have something temporary that's going to fall away. It's going to go away. It's not going to last. It might be a memory for a bit, you know, had a good experience, but it's not gonna last like a spiritual experience will. Once was a farmer. Went to town to purchase seeds for the farm, and he was returning home, and he had bought squash seeds, and one of those seeds fell out of his pocket, fell on the ground, and it just so happened there was another seed within a few feet of that one, of a different type. Well, the place where the two seeds lay was fertile ground, and they both took root, and you know, after about a week, the squash seed showed signs of life and growth. The second seed didn't show any. And after 2 weeks, the squash began to sprout leaves. The second seed didn't show any. After 7 weeks, the squash began to show fruit. The second seed still showed no progress. 4 more weeks came and went. The squash plant reached... after 7 weeks, the squash... You started it. 4 weeks came and went. The squash plant reached the end of its life, bearing much fruit in that time. But the other seed finally began to slowly grow. Now, many years later, the squash was all but forgotten. But the other tiny seed happened to be an acorn. It had grown into a mighty oak. You know, a lot of people want the faith squash, the squash faith. You know, they want to get out there and produce really fast. You know, we're a now type of people. We always have been, probably always will. But everybody's different. You know, we're planted different. We're planted to do different things, to be different things. You know, we don't grow at the same rate. We don't grow into the same things. God has different purposes and different plans for each one of us. You know, some will be a squash. Some will produce immediately and for a time. Maybe God just has a season for them to do certain things. Others mature over time into that oak tree that grows and produces a whole lifetime. Shows its strength. You need to be who God wants you to be, regardless of whether you're a cross or an oak tree. You know, you need to be glad and rejoice in it, because that's His purpose and His plan for you. Be happy in who you are, who He wants you to be, what He's given you. Go back to the plant. First, you have to be planted. You know, maybe like that seed underground, as a Christian, you have to be planted. You know, that seed underground, things are happening you can't see. But things are happening that, you know, life is moving. It's taking in what it needs to grow. You can't always see it. You say it like Sid there, he's still being bottle fed for now. You know, then later that sapling kind of appears. It starts to grow. You start to see something happening. But the roots are pretty shallow. You know, they're not deep yet. They're shallow. They're saved. They're righteous, but they've moved just up to the sippy cup. They're off the bottle, but they're still on the sippy cup. You know, a lot of mature trees have a root system that's below ground is equal to what's above ground that you see. It's the same size below as it is on top. They're firm, they're steady. You know, the shallow roots, they fight against the storms and the wind and the rain and the floods. You know, and when they come, and they will come, deaths will come, finances will maybe be an issue. There may be health issues, the other temptations that just fall on you in life. They will come, but shallow roots can be uprooted and fall in the face of the storm. You know, we've seen a lot of examples of trees around us recently that how loose soil by water and wind affects the root system of trees. poorly rooted trees have trouble remaining standing. It's a struggle if they're not rooted deep. Well, how do we get those deep roots to hold us in place that make us strong and firm and productive? Well, the deep roots of the full life in Christ and strength to overcome sin and the struggles of life. That's where they go. They're in Christ. Well, many say, well, I can pray and I can read my Bible. You know, I can go to church. Well, all those things are great. They really are. I hope everybody's praying. I hope you're reading the Bible. Good to see you here today. And I encourage you to do all those things. But all of those things facilitate growth. They don't necessarily give it. They're facilitators of growth. You have to do the growth. A Christian attending church doesn't prove that they're growing. Doesn't approve that they're maturing necessarily or rooted in Christ. Belonging to and growing in are different things. We want you to do both, but we want you, the main thing is to grow in Christ, to have those deep roots. You know, growth, as we go back to one, growth is in understanding God better. You know, it's having a more mature relationship with Him and to be more like Him. It's becoming Him. It's growing to reflect His character. And our actions in our life, doing what He's asked us to do, what He would do. You know, it's actively following Him in serving. It's actively following Him in giving. It's following Him in worship. It's making Him who He should be. You know, it's an actual Bible study to grow by feeding on the Word. You know, you can read the Bible. You know, I know people, I've read it several times. Well, did you get anything out of it? Did you study it a little bit? You know, how many books have you read? You know, you read it, you zip through it, I can read it, and next year you don't remember anything about it. I don't remember what I read or what it said. If you don't think about it, when you're reading it, you're not going to absorb all it has. You got to put some time and effort into studying really what the words are telling you. So it's being fed by the Word. It's being watered by the Holy Spirit. When we're watered, we grow towards the sun. Not the sun outside, the other one, the S-O-N. Then it's living in gratitude and thanksgiving, thankfulness, and understanding of who Christ is and what He desires for you and desires of you. You understand Him better because you're closer. You've got that relationship, the maturity. You've got the deep roots that you're dependent on Him. You're strong in Him. On the other side, the Japanese introduced a tree to the world called the bonsai tree. I think you all know what the bonsai tree is. It's measured in inches instead of feet. It's not allowed to reach anywhere near its full potential or its full growth, but it grows in a stunted form because they keep trimming it off. But the reason for the stunted growth is when it first just comes out of the soil, you know, you first see it out of the ground as a sapling. The owner pulls it completely out, and he ties off the main taproot and some of its branch feeder roots, and then he replants it. And then by doing this, the grower deliberately stunted its growth by limiting the root's ability to spread out and to grow deep and to take in enough of the soil nutrients for normal growth. And that's what Satan wants to do. The minute he sees growth, he wants to try to pull you out. He wants to cut off some of those roots. He wants to stunt some of those roots so you can't get deeper. So it takes effort on your part because he wants to stop what God wants to do. He wants to stop your growth. You know, if you're not doing the things, he has no reason to bother you. You're not there anyways. But if you're trying to be, if you have salvation, if you have his righteousness already, the growth's the next thing that he's going to try to stop you doing. If he stops you from doing that, then your actions aren't going to follow exactly what God wants, be what God wants, and your example for Christ is not going to be what it should be. That's we talk about hypocrites down in Sunday school a little bit, and that's where it's going to come from baby Christians not growing, not maturing, and maybe listening to things around them and not understanding it well enough, God's word, that they kind of come into doubt on doctrine and different things. So that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to clip off those roots so you can't get deep and get a firm hold. But God wants us to have the deep roots where we can stand against anything in life that comes to us. We're going to have an invitation time, but I want to finish with Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says, "And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So yes, you're saved, you're counted righteous, but do you have the deep roots and growing strong in him? Are you producing fruit for him? You know, the deep roots will give you a full life in Christ and give you the strength to overcome, to be an overcomer from sin and from just the trouble that this life gives. You know, sometimes, you know, how can I tell what are the results? How can I tell where I'm growing? Am I growing? How deep are my roots? Well, he says it will show more in love. It will show more in kindness. It will show more in by having less anger. It will show how deep you are by having less bitterness in your life. You know, if you look back 1 year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, you know, look back in your life and are those things true? Can you truthfully acknowledge that you love better, you love more, you're a kinder person, you have less anger and bitterness, they don't take up the large amount of space they used to in your life, they don't fill you up, crowd out the other things? If you look back and those things aren't true, then you're not spiritually maturing. You're not deep-rooted. Honestly, you're just aging and getting older in this life. Grace doesn't save, doesn't just save, it transforms. You change. If there's no change, there's no growth. It's called sanctification, and it's a lifelong process. It's being more made more like Christ. It's lifelong, but it builds deep roots. You know, your strength comes by your roots in Christ. So just consider, how deep are your roots? Let's pray.